Today's scripture is Ezekiel chapter 47 verses 1 through 5 and Exodus chapter 20 verse 14. Ezekiel 47 1 through 5. And then he brought me back to the door of the house, and behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. But the house faced the east, and the water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the earth. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. When the man went out toward the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water reaching the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water reaching the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water reaching the loins. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford, for the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. Exodus 20:14. You shall not commit adultery. Amen. Senior pastor will deliver the 8th session of the message entitled God Measures Our Faith.
사랑하는 성도 여러분, 전 세계 및 전국의
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all of the world, including the local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday school, GCN and Manmin TV viewing audiences, suppose you have received many tickets for violations of traffic rules. You think you never violated any traffic laws, but the tickets describe in detail what you did at certain places. Now you remember what you did, and you realize that there were speed limits and other rules at certain places. We might face a similar situation in spirit too. If you suddenly get a disease or become involved in an accident, you may wonder and think, why are these things happening to me? You will try to check whether you violated the Word of God. If you have the knowledge of the Word of God, you can soon realize the mistake that you made and where you went wrong. Also, because you know the Word of God, you can realize why you became sick. And you will try to do that. And if you do realize it, you will repent of it and receive the prayer, and then you will be cleaned, healed. For example, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 says, "But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses, if you do not obey all these things, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." So there were, before Deuteronomy 28:15, in the previous verses, explain what the curses are. So, and then it says, "And if you do not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all His commandments and statutes, then all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." So there are many kinds of curses explained in the previous verses. Why the devil would come, and why about the lung diseases and other diseases. But you shouldn't think you will not get the diseases that are not mentioned in the Bible, because the names of diseases are different back then and now, because there are many newly found diseases. So it's not just about diseases mentioned in the Bible, but it means includes all kinds of diseases. Proverbs 19:23 also says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, so that one may sleep satisfied." The fear of the Lord. If you fear the Lord, you will cast off evil, so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched, leads to life. The fear of the Lord leads to life, to heavenly kingdom. so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. So they will be satisfied. All things will go well, so there won't be any problem. So there are many pastors, they tell me that if their churches are having a problem, they have to look back on themselves. What they did wrong? Or what they lack? In what senses they are disappointing God? In what sense they are not following the word of God? If you check all these things, you will have the answer to the problem. So the fear of the Lord leads to life so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. So all the church members here, you have experienced it so many times. Those who live by the word of God, they don't face any disasters. They are family members. They don't even get sick. Today, Elder Song came to see me. His family came to see me, and it's been 13 years since they came to this church. Before they came to our church, children are in the junior in the college, and also another is senior in the high school. And they used to be sick all the time, but since they came to this church, they never went to any hospital because they are living by the word of God. They don't get any disease. They don't get sick ever. But before they came to this church, they were always, you know, all going to the hospital because of the sicknesses. So you see that those who fear the Lord, keep His words, do not face any disasters. For the last 29 years, since the opening of this church, I've never been involved in any kind of traffic accident. Even in a situation where we had to get into a traffic accident, when God protected us. My driver, Elder Choi, when he was at that time he was very short-tempered, and he was driving wildly, and we were just about to get into traffic accident, but God protected us. If you understand the justice of God in these commands, you can soon realize that you did not keep certain commandments and you disobeyed certain words of God. Then you can turn from those ways. If you do not realize, you can't turn away. Suppose if you get a cold, then you just think you suffer for 1 week or 2 weeks, and then finally you'll be all right, of course, because it's a common cold. But if you repent of yourself, repent of your sins, and receive the prayer, you'll be healed in a day or two. But if you do not have the knowledge of the word, you cannot realize or understand the reason why you face troubles. You suffer from the same kind of tests and trials all the time without knowing the reason. In some cases, a person might not even receive salvation. John chapter 8, verse 32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So if you listen, so for that reason you have to listen and learn the word of God so that the truth will make you free. So if you have the truth, you'll be free. You are bound by the law because things are changing with my body. If you live by the truth, which is the word of God, you will not live a difficult life, but have security and freedom. It's because you can be set free from all kinds of tests and trials. Furthermore, you can live in the eternal heavenly kingdom, enjoying complete freedom. When I talk about the word of God, the truth, and especially about the sins depriving of salvation, I hope you will keep it in your mind. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will not just know the truth, but cultivate it in your hearts completely, so that you will walk the paved way of peace until you reach heavenly kingdom. Brothers and sisters, this is the eighth session on God Measures Our Faith. Up until the last session, we talked about some of the sins depriving of salvation, which the Bible warns us about. We looked into four sins. They are idolatry, violation of Sabbath, not giving proper tithes, and standing against men of God. The fifth sin, depriving of salvation, is various fornications and adulteries. Various fornications and adulteries are sins depriving of salvation. Sexual immorality is something we have to be very careful about, since we are living in a world that is so corrupted sexually. So it is the easiest thing for the enemy devil Satan to deceive, tempt us, to lead us to hell. And also greed, to swindle others out of money, or to cheat others. How promiscuous is today's world as the Lord's coming draws near? As a result of the sins accumulated for thousands of years, we are experiencing a generation that is filled with sins at an unprecedented level. As Pastor Ju prayed, the sins of today cannot even begin to compare with the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's so much more, much more sexually corrupted. At each corner of all places, there is no clean place. Even believers in God become corrupted sexually. Many of them lose their faith and lives as they go the way of death. Since you are living in this kind of world, you must not only keep yourself secured with the truth, but you must also root out the sin natures of the heart. Brothers and sisters, Leviticus from chapter 18, verse 6 onward, God prohibits various adulteries, and verse 29 says, "For whoever does any of these abominations," God explains about various adulteries, and verse 29 says, "For whoever does any of these abominations," so adultery is an abomination. Any of these, some people say, "Oh, I did just a little bit, just one or two things." But what does the Word of God say? If whoever does any of these abominations, those persons who do so shall be cut off from among their people. It means they will not receive salvation. They can't go to heaven. Namely, the Bible clearly tells us that adultery is a sin depriving of salvation. This will of God does not change even in the New Testament. Oh, is it only for the Old Testament? Of course not. It's also for New Testament. Galatians chapter 9 verses 19 to 21 lists the evident works of the flesh which may lead to not being saved. The first ones of the list are immorality, impurity, sensuality, which are the works of the flesh with regard to sex. And then it says, of which I forewarn you, just as I forewarned you. Because there were many forewarning in the Old Testament. If you commit these sins, you will die. You will face death. That those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They can't go to heaven, which means they will go to hell. The Bible warns us of these things in many places. The Bible talks about the works of the flesh related to sexual corruption with different words, including adultery and fornication. So let us learn about the different terms so that you have specific knowledge about various forms of adultery and be on the alert concerning them. Let me first talk about adultery, which is the most common. Exodus chapter 20 verse 14 says, "You shall not commit adultery." This is the seventh commandment of the Ten Commandments. This is the seventh commandment of the Ten Commandments. Leviticus chapter 20 verse 10 says, "If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. If you commit adultery with your neighbor's wife, both you and that woman must be put to death. That's what the Word of God says. It clearly tells us that sexual misconduct is an unacceptable sin which deprives of salvation. Adultery is an act of a man or a woman who is married, but not married to each other, having a sexual relationship. They are not husband and wife, but they are married, but they have a sexual relationship with somebody else. Now, how is adultery different from sexual misconduct? At times, sexual misconduct refers to adultery, but many times, sexual misconduct includes various obscene things in general. Also, adultery refers to both the act of committing adultery and having thoughts of adultery, but sexual misconduct is only about the act of committing sins. So adultery includes two things, the works of the flesh. The act of committing adultery and the things of the flesh, having a lustful mind in one's heart. So adultery are two things. The act of committing adultery and the thoughts of having adultery. But the sexual misconduct is only about the act of committing sins. Can you understand? So I ask you, let's just finish it with one sermon. Just keep it in your heart. So you don't have to ask again and again. You have to consult any other pastor again and again. So just keep it in your mind when you once hear, listen to it. And if you can't really remember, you can just listen to the sermons again. So you can keep it in your heart completely so you know the law properly. I said adultery is a sin for a man and a woman who are married but not married to each other, being in a sexual relationship. Sexual misconduct can be generally categorized into two kinds. One is that a married person is unfaithful and has an illicit relationship with somebody else. So the married person has to keep the faithfulness, but a married person has an illicit relationship with somebody else. The other case is when unmarried people have sexual relationships. Those who are not married, they have sexual relationships. Such physical relationships between men and women are allowed only for married couples. So from the beginning, God allowed this only for married couples, such a physical relationship. Other than that, all are unlawful. There are sins that violate the law of God, and God hates these sins. But what is the situation today? Those who are married have sex with other people's wives or husbands. Unmarried people with other people's spouses. And unmarried people with other unmarried people. So some husbands here say, oh, to their wives, you must not attend Manmin Church. You can go to any other church but Manmin Church. But if they hear, I think they have this kind of desire, because I always point out these sins. They, of course, smoking and drinking. So they feel troubled when they listen to the message. So they feel their heart is pierced. So if they go to any other church, can they be forgiven of their sins? You know, attending this church, they have to struggle against sins and try to cast them off and at least receive salvation. Such an evil act is so widespread as if it were a trend of the world. What is more serious is that they do not even have the pangs of conscience committing those sins. But this certainly is a grave sin that deprives of salvation. In this session, let me first talk about married people doing unlawful things. Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 22 says, If a man is found lying with a married woman, then both of them shall die. The man who lay with the woman and the woman. Thus you shall purge the evil from Israel. So they slept together. And you have to put to death both the man and woman. So you shall purge the evil from Israel. So in some other churches, if something like this is known, they kick them out of the church. Not all, but in most cases, they kick them out of the church. There's no forgiveness. If they're kicked out of the church, it means they can't receive salvation. There's no way. So if the church binds it, it is bounded by the church. It is bound in heaven too. So if the church itself kicks them out, then they can't receive salvation. I once mentioned there is a church, Chunghyun Church. It is located in the Taegero Street. It was built with a... And at that time, there was an affair in the choir. And because of that, the whole choir was abolished. I mean, it was dismissed. They just dismissed the whole choir at that time. Of course, I think they have now, but... So the choir members, if they commit these sins, do not give a hard time to the church. Do not cause any disaster of God. Just resign. They themselves have to resign. Being a choir member, you don't have to say, I committed this sin and I resign. You can just resign. So you can protect the church from getting into any disasters or tests and trials so that the church will not have financial problems. Proverbs 6:32 says, The one who commits adultery with a man, with a woman, namely a married woman, is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. So they are destroying their spirit, themselves. Proverbs 6:29 says, So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife, whoever touches her will not go unpunished. So if there is an adulterer, if you just touch him, you can't even touch somebody else's wife. So if there is any person like that, you must not even have a fellowship. You have a fellowship with that person because you do the same thing. You commit the same sins. Oh, you forgive that person? You want to forgive that person? Because of that person, so many others are going to hell together. And that person is going to hell. So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. It is sin. This sin of adultery itself is such a great sin before God. And many other sins accompany it too. Because of unfaithfulness of their spouses, the married couples get divorced or live as though they were enemies. Because of their parents' problems, their children are not raised with comfort and they go astray. Some of them are raised by their grandparents or other relatives, and some are even given away to institutions. So there are quite a few, even in our church. The father is having an affair. He just deserts his family. And without even getting a divorce, he lives with another woman. And he just leaves his wife and his children, and he just follows another woman. And what happens to the children? And so the mother is working, day by day to make ends meet every day. How can a woman earn? How much can a woman earn? And sometimes they have many children. She has many children. So sometimes she sends the children to the colleges. Some of the mothers I came to know about in this church. So once I come to know about such families, I help them all the time. I admire. I actually have great respect for such mothers who are betrayed by their husbands, but still who keep their children, raise their children by working so hard, and if they send their children to even colleges. So once I came to know such families, I helped these families, not just once or twice. You have to solve the fundamental problem. You have to pull out the root. Sometimes, at first I help them so they can pay the interest for their debt. So, and then after that, I even pay the whole, the principal of the debt. So they don't have to pay any interest anymore. So in many families, once I come to know about these families, I help them. But of course, I have conditions to help them. The mothers, they have to be faithful in their Christian life. And also, the children have to be faithful in the church. If the children are just befriending the world and they don't have any faith, then I can't help them. So if the mothers, both the mothers and the children are faithful, are good in their faith, and faithful in the church, I help them. So they can avoid that, more difficulties so that they can be more faithful in their faith. In the news, some people even kill their spouses because one spouse doubts or finds out about the other's unfaithfulness. How can we say they are human beings who are created in the image of God? Though it is not to such a heinous extent, some of you have committed different acts of adultery in the past and repented of them. The sins you had committed before you met the Lord were forgiven when you accepted the Lord. Once you accept the Lord, as you listen to the messages, as you listen to the sermons, you come to realize your past sins, and you come to repent of your sins, past sins. So in places like revival meetings or in other prayer meetings, so you repent thoroughly of your past, and you shed tears and runny nose, and you are forgiven of your past sins. But some of you might have committed such sins after accepting the Lord, for you did not understand the truth very well, or you could not control your lust, having weak faith. You know that, sometimes you don't know, new believers. They don't know the truth very well. So, like in the first and second levels of faith. And they commit sins sometimes. But if you repent thoroughly before God, He shows you mercy and forgives you. So there are many different cases. You have to discern between different cases. So the pastors and leaders, cell leaders, group leaders, they have to know each case so they can give right, correct counseling, correct advice. You have to know the truth clearly so you understand each case properly. In some cases, they commit sins leading to death, and you say, oh, you can be forgiven. When? You have to understand when you can be forgiven and when you cannot be forgiven. Some people, they are forgiven, while some others, they can't be forgiven. Also, many of you committed sins that could not be forgiven at all, but you were forgiven by the special grace, by the love going beyond justice. In principle, if you commit sins knowing the truth well and having experienced the living God, you cannot be forgiven. But God has cleansed you as white as snow. Those who truly repented and have been cleansed of your sins would have regretted so much thinking about why you had committed such sins. You now love only your wife or husband with the true hearts. But if you still look at other people other than your spouse with lustful eyes, and yet you do not fast and pray to cast away such a heart, what would God say about it? Even though you have been a Christian for a long time, even though you are elders and pastors, you have to repent thoroughly and fast and pray so that you can pull out the roots of it. Otherwise, you will keep on suffering. Your businesses don't go well. And even favorable conditions turn into unfavorable conditions. And you have to find out the reason why. If things don't go well as you expected, even for unbelievers, things work out. But for you, things don't work out in the same situation. So you have to look back on yourself. Because you committed sins leading to death, but you didn't repent thoroughly. Of course, you can't really repent. But God gave you a couple of chances to repent of your sins. The time of His grace. And also this time, God is calling to pastors. In the Old Testament, God Himself called those prophets. So God refined them, made a vessel and used them according to the size of their vessel. Sometimes there was no prophet for hundreds of years. So in the 80s, I prayed about it. And for hundreds of years, there was no prophet because there was nobody who is worthy to perform the duty of God. So there was a gap of hundreds of years. And to find one man of God is not something so easy. Because God looks the inner heart of people. God refines them and uses them. Same in the New Testament. Jesus Himself selected His disciples. The 12 and the 70. And the 12 were taught next to Him. They followed Him all the time, so they finally stood on the rock of faith at the time of the crucifixion. But in the case of Judas Iscariot, his conscience was seared as with hot iron. He had only a roadside heart, so he couldn't implant any word of God in his heart. And finally, he fell into the fourth level in hell, even though he was a disciple of Jesus. But it was all in the providence of God, and that could happen. But the 70 disciples, and these people, they were not walking with Jesus all the time. So some they received the teaching sometimes. And when Jesus said, you can have eternal life only when you eat the flesh, eat my flesh and drink my blood, they couldn't believe Him. So many of them, most of them left. And even today, there are so many things to do at the end time. There are so many workers are needed. So many pastors are needed. There must be pastors, servants of God, whom God can use. But He can't really find them. So God is calling the pastors through me. Those who can be used by God. So these pastors, they don't have any past. Even if they had a past, it was when they didn't know the truth. They repented thoroughly and they cut off all those things, and now they decide to remain single for the kingdom of God. In most cases, they never even touched any hands of other girls or boys. They're not stained by the world at all. And once they came to know the truth, they never committed sins, and they cut off all the worldly things. And God called about 13 people. And as I can't really see them directly, but sometimes I see them, try to see them. And I feel that they really have the heart. They are worthy to be called as servants of God. If once I give them any homework, they will just obey. If I can't meet them directly, I give them homework through Pastor Soojin Lee, and they obey. They go to the library after Daniel prayer meeting, and they study the Word of God. And they never cease to pray. They obey everything. So they go in quickly, very quickly, into spirit. And they take care of their church members entrusted to them very well. So if they do that, they can easily, quickly become spiritual warriors. But because they don't obey, it takes 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20 years, even after 25, 30 years, almost 30 years. There's no change in them. They still befriend the worldly things. They don't cast away just one sin nature, lust. So how can God use them? How can there be revival in parishes? How can there be revivals in mission groups? It can't. There can't. Because the enemy devil always accuses these things. So because of these accusations, the prayers are not answered. For example, you teach, oh, you must not commit adultery, you must not tell lies. The students, they might seem to be accepting it, but it's not planted in their heart because the enemy devil is taking that word of God away. Even the teacher is committing adultery. So, the word, it's just like falling on the roadside, picked up by the birds. It's not planted in their heart. So the students, their hearts, their souls can't prosper. So, if you committed sins leading to death, and if you are suffering, if you really repent of all those past sins, and if you really repent, God does not remember as the far as east is far from the west, and so you can just have a new start. Like in the case of King David, he committed a sin leading to death. That's why he had a great trial. Because he loved God so much, he was a man of God, he received much greater trials than other people. So he didn't want to avoid that kind of trial. He accepted them with thanks. So if you commit a sin, and if there is a trial because of that, you have to accept it and get over it. So as they do that, as he was going through the trial, he cast off all his evil. So even when one of the people was cursing him, which was not right at all, he just forgave that person. So when his sins was completely forgiven, he got the throne back right away. So of course you must not commit sins, but if you do and receive a trial, you have to accept the trial with thanks and overcome, so you can receive the blessings. The same with the pastors. So in the same way, they can have revival in the areas in their charge. Otherwise, there can't be a revival. So if there is no, if you do not fast and pray to cast away such a heart, what would God say about it? Would He say you truly repented? Matthew 5:28 says, "But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." In the Old Testament era, sin was not an offense unless it was committed in action. Namely, they didn't say you committed adultery if you just had adulterous thoughts. But in the New Testament era, the sin of adultery is committed if you just have adulterous thoughts in heart. So, is New Testament more difficult than Old Testament? No. Because in the Old Testament, men don't have the ability, the strength to cast away sins. So those who had that kind of strength, they were greatly used by God, Abraham and Moses and Elijah. But in the New Testament, it's the era of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit as the helper, so we can even cast away the sinful natures from our heart. That is why in the New Testament, God tells us to cast off the sinful natures too. In the Old Testament, there is no Holy Spirit, so they had to cast off sins with all by their own strength. So it is not easy to cast off the sin natures in heart. So they were forgiven if they just didn't commit sins in action. But in the New Testament, we have the Holy Spirit to help us cast off sinful natures from our heart. So we must not commit sins in action, as well as we don't commit sins even in heart. Of course, this is not a work of the flesh, a sin in action, so punishment doesn't come immediately. But if you keep on committing adultery in thoughts and do not cast away your lust, it can develop into action. So unless you pull it out, it'll develop. It'll grow up. It can become more and more, and finally your heart will be agitated, so you'll commit in action too. You'll commit sins in action too. So anyway, you have to cast it off. So you have to try to remove it. If you harbor it again and again, if you have that desire again and again in your heart, then it'll come out as action too. Also, if you have faith and do not cast away the adulterous mind, if you have faith and do not cast away the adulterous mind, it is also something you should be embarrassed about before God. It is something rude before God. You must hate the fact so much that you have such a sin nature in you. Therefore, I hope you will remove all the sinful natures that remain in your heart. We have a missionary in Europe, Christina Rowe. She is doing a hard work. I was listening to her message on Wednesday. She was preaching in a church about adultery. And when she mentioned adultery, the mood was like so quiet and so not accepting. So she changed the subject. So I thought, I was kind of shocked. She's a missionary. You give your life for God. If you become a missionary, you have to point out sins. You have to tell them to cast off sins. This is mission. And she's afraid of that. Why do you have to think of those reactions? Then you can only preach, oh, receive blessings. Then they'll all be happy. It is shocking, but you have to point out sins. You have to ask them to break down the walls of sins. Of course, their faces will be hardened, stiffened. But you have to preach that, like in the case of Stephen. John the Baptist, they boldly proclaimed, you brood of vipers, even our Lord, you brood of vipers, all to you. Because their hearts were so hardened, the Pharisees, because their hearts were so hardened. So Jesus and Stephen, when Stephen was pointing out sins, he was stoned to death. Didn't he know that? And they were so angry, and if you preach more, he knew he could have stopped, but he kept on preaching anyway. He pointed out what he had to point out, and even though he was being stoned to death, he became a martyr. So how thankful for him. It's just not martyrdom. He went into New Jerusalem. He is a great man in the history of God, in the history of humankind. So if you just avoid that kind of situation, what will the Satan say next time? So if, in that kind of situation, just think about senior pastor, or when senior pastor preaches the gospel. In some countries, they even changed the law, you know, to prohibit forced conversions. They prohibit conversions. But even in that country, a senior pastor boldly preached the gospel. You know, countries where he couldn't preach, in Dubai, Muslim country, in India, predominantly Hindu country, Pakistan, Muslim country. Even in those countries, I boldly proclaimed the gospel. There were threats of arrest and putting me in jail. In Pakistan, there was threats of terrorism, bombing. But I just boldly proclaimed the gospel. This is a man of God. This is what the man of God should be doing. So when I boldly proclaimed the gospel, preached the gospel, what kinds of blessings did they receive? When also, if I really rely on the Almighty God, He didn't cause any disadvantage or damage to me. Because of such preaching, there were repenting works. It was a good chance that you could have caused, you could have brought repenting works in that church. So you yourself shouldn't be trying to do it. You have to just deliver the will of God, the word of God. You have to rely on God completely. But because you were relying on yourself, you were afraid. But I'm still thankful for her. You know, as a woman, she's doing such a great work in Europe. It's not something easy. And she's still bold and brave. But you should be even more brave. So you can overcome all such things so you can receive the power of God and be used by God more greatly. You've seen the examples in my ministries. The greater the disturbances, the greater the glory of God. The greater the disturbing works, the more people gathered. There were organizing committee members. The police was threatening that they would put the organizers into prison. And in that country, the most number of people gathered, 1.5 million people at a night and 3 million total. Also in Pakistan, you can't preach the gospel in that country. And when we did, the minister of religion, also the minister of justice and the Muslim leader, they came to receive my prayer. And after receiving prayer from me, that leader, when that the father passed away, and his son succeeded his father, and he came all the way here, thanking me that I prayed for him. And he was telling me, you can come to Pakistan anytime. Then I will give you my hall that can hold like hundreds of thousands of people, some tens of thousands of people. You remember that, right? So many years ago, his father received my prayer and he came all the way here to thank me. His son, he's a leader of a different religion, but because we had that kind of a crusade, we have so many branch churches in that country. And also, because we had such a crusade in India too, we have so many associative and branch churches in that country. When we overcame all those things by faith and when we gave glory to God, we will certainly receive such blessings. So if you have faith and do not cast away the adulterous mind, it is also something you should be embarrassed about before God. So you must hate the fact so much that you have such a sin nature in you. Therefore, I hope you will remove all the sinful natures that remain in your heart. Dear brothers and sisters, especially those who are married, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, marriage is to be held in honor and among all, And the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. So as I explained what fornication and adultery, God will certainly judge. So if you repented thoroughly and cast off all the sinful natures, you are completely forgiven and God doesn't remember. But if you didn't repent, God will certainly judge. I hope you will keep this verse in mind and obey it completely. And I urge in the name of the Lord for you to set an example of a true Christian. Dear brothers and sisters, sometimes you might commit sins because you do not know the Word of God very well. It is about divorce and getting married again. And about these things, I will explain in the next session. Let us pray together thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become faith and life. Father, let it be faith and life. Let them keep it in their mind so that they will never commit sins leading to death. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I'll pray for the sick. Lay your hands on sick parts. Father God, lay your hands on them. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them spiritual and physical health. Show your works transcending space and time. Reverend Myungho Chung of Kenya, he'll have a pastor's conference in Kasiani. Be with him on August 18th, Friday. Dr. Sar Price of Australia, be healed of Parkinson's disease. So Myungja of Canada, let the construction be finished quickly for her business. Catherine, hypothyroidism, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Emmanuel Tabala, cancer of urinary cord, be healed. Charlotte Tabala, let her recover eyesight, pain all over her body, go away. Keith Costanza, breathing difficulty, go away. Be healed. Wan Sujin, let her give glory to God through her new business. Aijin Lin, Enoch, Angel Ido, Frank Eric, Monique Epiget, let them become true Christians with a good Christian life. Kim Sunja of Japan, uterus cancer, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and kidney failure, be healed. Phu of Vietnam, let the birthmarks, the spots go away from his body. Hung of Vietnam, lower body paralysis, be healed. Angel Echeverria of Spain, let him receive heavenly wisdom. Wang Mami Church, protect their church vehicle that they bought recently. Cha and Da Mami Church, let the church revive and let the workers be united. Yang Xuan Hui, be healed of depression. To Su Ching, be healed of skin disease. Yun De Hung, walking disorder, the damaged muscle on the back, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yi Sunja, herniated disc, the ruptured tendons, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Yu Guaichin, cataract, arthritis, and pains in the back and leg, be healed. Yang Sun Chung Sui, the boils go away, be healed. Yun Sung-ne, eczema, the itchiness, be healed, Taiwan Ing, and cancer in the intestines be healed by the five Holy Spirit. Lee Jung-shang, heart disease, be healed by the five Holy Spirit. Lee Su-je, the pain on the neck, be healed by the five Holy Spirit. Sai Jo-ran, Parkinson's disease, be healed by the five Holy Spirit. Jo-ha, ringing in the ear, be healed by the five Holy Spirit. Zhao Chai-liang, the rhinitis and lung trouble, be healed by the five Holy Spirit. Hong Jin-hua, the spots on the face go away. Sei Jie, epilepsy, be healed by the five Holy Spirit. Yang Chun-sui, boils and spots on the whole body, be healed. Se Sing Mei, eye disease, let her recover. Eyesight, Se Wei Shang Yang Hao, Se Mu An Ri Hong Kang, Liu Ting Ting, let them study well. Liang Dei Wei, Yang Chen Hua, Yang Qi, Se Xiao Fang, Yang Hai Fing, bless their business fields. Let them get a good job. Yang Shen Hui, Wang Jun, Wang Jun Jie, Zhao Hui Ying, Zhai Hong Yin, Xi Su Mei, He Xiao Ran, Su Yong Song, Zhou Hai Rong, Li Hong Ying, Zhang Ling, Ho O Jia Jia, Li Su Fan, Li Guai Ying, Zhang Wen Hui, Wang Guang Nan, Wang Su Fan, repent. Let them repent of all their past sins, forgive them of their past sins, and let their families be evangelized. Lord, thank you. Let all the eyes see well, let the ears hear well, all the intestines, all entrails be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Father, give them strength in their legs, in their backs, in the spine, all cancers, third stage, last stage cancers, metastasized cancers go away. All lung diseases, heart disease go away. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. Father, thank you. Give them spiritual and physical health and bless their business fields and workplaces. Lord, Father, thank you. Protect all the church vehicles and church members' vehicles. And let the drivers make no mistakes in driving and protect them throughout this week. Give them peace. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.